The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Happy Monday to you. We are quickly running out of January days for this 2023. It's the 30th already. That means by Wednesday we are going to be firmly in the grasp of February. It is super cold out there. George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. I know because I was just outside and came in. And it's deceptive because not a lot of snow fell last night. There were some flurries and stuff. Some cars had some little bit of cover on them. But, oh, my goodness, is it cold. It is right now, according to just me standing outside, it's got to be like 100 below. I that's just a guess. Don't know. But the paper here in front of me says that the low today will be 3 with a high of 12 degrees. That is remarkably consistent with what the Channel 7 folks had put out 4 days ago on the 26th, the last time I was able to collect this. They had it being a high of 10. Now, where they really start to come off the rails, though, is they predicted last week, they predicted that Tuesday would be a high of 20. That's tomorrow. Now they've upgraded that to 27. Last week, they said this Wednesday, the 1st of February, would be 25. Now they say 38. And frankly, folks, it gets a lot warmer after that. It goes 38 to 42 to 45 by Friday. But given the changes that they have made thus far, not that impressed. Also, they had predicted previously Saturday and Sunday would be light snow, flurries, all that stuff. The only thing they got right was the cold. A little bit of flurries last night, at least down where we were. But I didn't detect a whole lot of snow getting around. Now, I did not get to spend Friday with you. Happy to talk about that as we go through the show. I had some court stuff to do. Yes, the state of Colorado has still recklessly allowed me to be a licensed and practicing attorney in the state of Colorado. And I had agreed to do a case, and I just don't do criminal cases, folks, but I did agree to do one. And I'll talk to you a little bit about that and where I think that case is going to go. But Friday, I was in Montrose. My thanks to United Airlines for having several daily direct flights from Denver to Montrose. And it is a yard dart shot from DIA over to the Montrose Regional Airport, because you go up and then you go right back down. It's like a 35-minute flight. And so that was nice, not too bumpy, a little bumpy. Only had to say a few prayers there from time to time. And then spent the night at the, this is no joke, I'm not an attorney, but I did spend a night at a Holiday Inn. I did spend a night at a Holiday Inn on Thursday night. Friday, went to court with the rest of the team, and it was awesome. I mean, honestly, I miss being in the courtroom. It's weird to be on the other side of the room. But when you feel like you're doing the right thing and you're on the side of justice, it has the same feeling as when I was the DA. So it was very satisfying. If there's a chance, I'll talk to you about sort of what went on. And frankly, I'd love to share a lot more with you after today, because I think today is going to be a decisive day in what happens with this case. Now, currently it's set for trial February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. Set for trial on the 14th to last up to 4 days. But I am optimistic, cautiously optimistic, that after today, that may no longer be an issue. But we'll see, and I'll let you know more about that. But it was good to get back in the courtroom. That's the first time I think I've been in there since STEM. I don't think I have been in a courtroom as an attorney making an argument since STEM. And that's going back to, geez, July of 2021. Is that possible? Yeah, that's possible. That's crazy that it's been that long. Anyway, listen, a lot of other stuff this weekend. A lot of sports for the little guy. I mean, Saturday was baseball. No, I'm sorry. That's not the right order. Wrestling, baseball, and then a basketball game at 8 o'clock at night. 8 o'clock at night. Who plays basketball at 8 o'clock at night? These guys did. So they wrapped up the regular season, really rough season for the team. But it's a team of and I mean this in a gentle way, it's like the island of misfit toys. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are many teams that have been playing together for years, and they played through this league. This was a team that was like the Dirty Dozen. They just threw these guys together, and they've really gotten better and better as the season's progressed. But again, you know, what can you do in one season? And so we've got the playoffs this weekend, and we'll see how far these guys can go. They have a lot of grit. They have a lot of heart. They just haven't been playing together. They're missing some basics and all that stuff. But they're really, really good kids. So it was fun to watch that. And then yesterday, of course, another freaking wrestling tournament. This one at my old high school, Bear Creek High School. Now, I never set foot in that school because I had the old one, and they raised it and built this new one. But all the old plaques and banners and stuff are hanging there. I think Gramps putting his finger in my eyes. We're walking down the halls. He goes, "Hey, Dad, let's go to the Athletic Hall of Fame and find your picture." And I go, "We don't need to go down there, son, because it's not up there."
That's going to be a short trip.
He knows the answer to that. He's just being funny. But we did go and look, and I talked to him about some people from my class. And for me, it's still not that long ago. But when you do the math, oh, Billy, it is so long ago. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that long ago, but it has been.
It's been a long time. Man, it hurts my heart to look at some of the stuff I look at the pictures, and I recognize those dudes, and then I realize I haven't seen them in more than 3 decades.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of spooky. Ran across some old photos, cleaning some stuff out with my wife last weekend. Yeah, it was last weekend. And pulled out some pictures, and my kids, I'm not sure if this is a compliment. I'm going to take it as a compliment. But they were like, my daughter's like, "Dad, you were hot." I'm like, "Wait,
hey, hello.
How come that's past tense?" Just in general. I'm just like, hey, I know. Again, I look at it and think that, you know, again, yeah, Dad wasn't always this bad. At one point or another, we were acceptable in public situations,
but
not
buddy,
anymore.
That's a win, even past tense. Yeah. I mean, they could have looked at the picture and been like, oh, you've kind of always been you. You know what I mean? And then you're like, dang, come on.
Yeah, they actually, the really nice compliment was that a couple of the pictures, they took the pictures and then put them out on their social media, and a large number of their friends said that I was both good looking and that my wife was hot at the time. So that was
great.
Hey,
look at, well, yeah, Billy, so that that's kind of a big victory.
Yeah, it was
kind of
nice. It was. They still don't care a damn about what I say, but at least.
No. But maybe this is the beginning of credibility with that generation where the aesthetics matter more than the substance. The substance will catch up.
I doubt it. But
they'll
we
be
can
like,
hold
Dad
breath.
May know some stuff. Maybe Dad was cool once.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah. It's
that's also tough for the kids to wrap their mind around the idea that Dad knew people and had friends and stuff where they're like, really? I'm like, listen, I get it. I'm amazed as you are that happened, but there it is.
There was a band my youngest daughter was listening to the other day in her room, and I'm like, I go, you know, when they released their first album, I went and played miniature golf with them. She goes, what? I'm like, they were just younger and they're breaking in, and I was in the industry and they didn't have anything to do, so we went out and we drank a little bit and played drunk miniature golf. I'm like, what? I'm like,
was it Big Head Todd and the Monsters?
No, it was 311.
Yeah, that's kind of big.
Yeah, kind of had fun with them. It was when their first album Homebrewed came out, and they were doing some.
Have you ever thought of reaching out for a rematch or anything like that?
No, I've actually, when they were touring up through, I'd say probably about 8-10 years ago, every once in a while we would connect. I'd send some emails to the manager, and I'd go and I'd get to see the show, and I'd hang out with them a little bit. But yeah, they were nice guys. So it was one of those crazy things where, like, we were both stupid together. High five thing. Yeah. So
one of us is famous now.
Exactly.
The other one's you.
Yeah, the other one's me. Yeah, so it's kind
of
nice.
Did you get a chance to watch any of the championship football games?
Yes, I did. I spent about half of the game watching the 49ers-Eagles, but once you lost the last quarterback, the fourth string, you're like, this is not going to go well.
It didn't feel like a real game after they lost Purdy. Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, even right after they lost Purdy, they marched down the field. They ended up tying it up because of McCaffrey 7-7. And I thought, man, if Purdy could come back, it'd be a legit game. This could be legit. But once you lose all your quarterbacks and you've got, at one point, Christian McCaffrey, who Graham and I are rooting to come on and take it on because we want the Hollywood story.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And the Valor connection from right here, local kid. But once that happens, it changes the dynamic entirely. You make the defense do way more than they needed to do, and they were pretty good for a while.
Yeah.
And the offense is inept. They can't seem to get down the field. It didn't feel like a fair matchup. I mean, I don't care about
the Eagles. If you were a 49er fan, that would have felt unfair because it felt like they had tied one, if not both, of your hands behind your back.
Oh, my gosh.
And then said, come play with some of the best. And that was very tough.
Yeah, and then
the Chiefs won.
Chiefs game is a heartbreaker. I despise the Chiefs.
Me too.
I mean, I'm just so sick. Listen,
it's a division
thing.
I have to hate them.
Yeah,
I do.
But let me be clear. I think Patrick Mahomes is one of the most amazing quarterbacks the NFL's ever produced. There's no question in my mind this dude, if he stays healthy, is going to be right up there with, you know, Manning and Brady. I get it. I'm just so sick of the Mahomes to Kelsey connection. And I'm just so sick of the Chiefs and Arrowhead. And so to watch Joe Burrow get in there, when they tied it up in the fourth, I thought, this is going to happen. They're going to do it again. They're going to break all the hearts of those Arrowhead fans. And I'm just going to lap up all of those sweet tears. Just
exactly. They're going to be delicious.
And then somehow those last two drives that the Bengals put together, and I use that phrase very lightly, just awful. Awful.
Yeah, they were absolutely awful. I was a Cincinnati fan yesterday. I've got a good friend of mine that lives in Cincinnati. Huge Bengals fan. So for him, I was cheering, and I'm happy to cheer against a divisional opponent for the Broncos at any point in time. So I'll be happy to join your bandwagon at any point and yell and scream with you. So I was a huge Cincinnati Bengals fan yesterday. And again, I have huge respect for Patrick Mahomes. He is an amazing quarterback. But we have to stop pretending, please, when we're doing TV commentary, that he is the greatest person to ever lace up his cleats and put a helmet on. Because, and we talked about it earlier, that there was that play near the end where Patrick Mahomes runs, and the Cincinnati Bengal makes a horrible decision and gets out of bounds
horrible.
And pushes
unnecessary.
Him. Yeah, there's no reason to put your hands on him. You push him, and of course, in this day and age, in the NFL, that is roughing the passer.
If you cough on the passer, it's roughing
exactly.
the passer.
Exactly. So you're roughing the quarterback. He's not very good, and so it was a Cincinnati penalty, and now they get an additional 15 yards added at the end, and the commentator's like, what an amazing run! I cannot believe that Patrick Mahomes, with his hurt ankle, was able to take the team on his back and hurl them forward to, and I'm sitting there going, you moron! I just saw a dude get a 15-yard penalty. If they don't get that 15-yard penalty,
that was the game. That penalty was the game.
It's a 7-yard run, and then Kansas City has a difficult decision to make, but because of the penalty, first down changes everything.
Everything.
But that's not what they talk about. They sit there and they go, Patrick Mahomes, shut up. I'm tired of it.
I know.
I mean, great player, but stop giving him all of the credit. He doesn't get all of it, okay?
No.
Not all of it.
Texters, by the way, and we love to get the text, and let me just do the recap here of this. You can reach out to us a bunch of different ways. One is you can do it through the email from the app or the website. I just get to that less frequently, honestly. But if you hit me with the text, for folks that have been texting into the show, and you guys do in truckloads every day, you know that I read many of them on the air, and I respond to most of them if I can. So we've already had some texts here, two that are of note for us, Billy. Yeah. One is, comment on the NFL thing, the officiating crews were too involved in both games. Yeah. I do think that was true. I thought there were some plays where the expert guy even he was like, that's technically this, but that was light. Then another texter has come in to say that if you're watching us on YouTube, what you'll notice is Billy is identified as me, and I'm identified as you, Billy.
I like that. Can we switch paychecks?
We're getting closer and closer to parity every single day. And for folks listening, that is not necessarily a good thing right
no,
there
not.
For Billy or
not
me.
Not for either of us.
No, not for either of us.
Not a good thing.
But you can also watch us on the YouTube, which is a big deal. Go out to the YouTube, do the subscription thing. Mark Crowley, who is our IT genius guy, he has assured us that once we eclipse 1,000 subscribers, and we're right on the doorstep of it, part of that, everyone gets a free car.
Yeah.
And I mean including you.
Yep.
You all get a free car. I don't know how he Oprah Winfrey's that thing, but it sounds like it's going to happen.
I think they're Matchbox or Lego, but still, it's details. It's in the fine print.
I did not want to leave the segment, by the way, because you teased me with a couple different things media-related. One, you saw a movie that you liked, but there were two other things that you watched that were sort of unexpectedly good.
It was a movie and a TV show. So I had an adventure in storytelling this weekend, and it was absolutely phenomenal because I love good storytelling, and both of these things came out of nowhere for me. I wish earlier in my career that I had had this person, it's very influential in my radio side of my career, explain to me that it's not enough to just find the right story, that you have to know how to tell it. Because they said the creativity is in finding the right story. That's your job, to go out there and find the story and figure out what you're going to do. And even if it's something in the family, what is that story you can tell on the radio? But the artistry comes in how you tell it. That's the pure part of the art form. And I wish I would have figured that out earlier in my career. And that's what I ran across this weekend. The first was a birthday celebration for my mom. Happy birthday, Mom, if you're listening. Love you. Had a lot of fun over the weekend. We went and did movie and dinner. And I always suggest that. Don't do dinner and a movie, because then what the hell do you talk about during dinner? You do movie and dinner, you got something to talk about. So always do it that way. So we did that.
Wait a minute. Dinner after the movie?
Absolutely. Always. Always do dinner after the movie.
That's so interesting.
Because then you got stuff to talk about. You
normally,
have, especially
dating. Listen, I haven't been doing the right thing, because normally we're eating and then you get in those recliner chairs and it's, you know, nappy time, honestly.
Yeah. It also cuts down on the amount of food that you will consume during the movie, so it'll save you some money.
Well, I don't want that.
But you know you're eating afterwards.
I need the refillable bucket of popcorn, Billy.
Oh, yeah. You can still do that, but you don't have to do the snow caps and you don't have to do the, you know, raisinettes and you don't have to, you know, sneak in the dots. And so
the goobers?
Yeah, the goobers.
Do they still do goobers?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, goobers and raisinettes. So peanuts and raisins. So the movie is, and this is what my mom wanted to see. She hadn't been to the theater for 4 years, and she said, I'd really like the experience of going back to the theater. So we're like, okay, great. What do you want to see? And she says, I want to see the new Tom Hanks film. And we went, oh, I've seen a little bit of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it's a film called It's a Man Named Otto. That's the name of it. And it is absolutely unexpectedly phenomenal.
Really?
I would do whatever you can to go out there and see it because of the amazing storytelling. It comes out of nowhere. And the premise is that Tom Hanks is a man who has recently, in the last 6 months, lost his wife. That's the love of his life. And he's dealing with the rest of the world. And he's decided that his life is basically over. All the good is done. So he has become the grumpiest, most Karen individual you have ever seen on the planet. He is mad at everybody, and he is going to point it out. And it is hilarious to see, because he's got this, you know, Hanks is such a good actor. He can just portray the emotion through facial, you know, his face.
You're certain this isn't a movie about Adam Schiff.
I know. It could have been. It really could have been. And then what happens is, across the street moves in this family. And the wife is this bundle of sunshine that just cannot be ignored. And she calls him on his BS. She just, to his face. Huh. There's one point early in the movie, and I'm not going to break anything. Early in the movie, the first time that she really has a conversation with him, she asks him, are you always this unfriendly? Just to his face. Yeah. And he's like, I'm not unfriendly. And she goes, oh, no, you're not unfriendly. Every word you say is like a warm cuddle. I mean, she's just sarcastic to call him on his crap. And he slowly melts. And there are some other relationships in there that crack the glacier as well. And then where he ends up and what he becomes. It is remarkable. And this is how good it is. Okay, out of my four kids, all four laughed out loud openly in the theater, which is, again, not that
during
unusual.
The movie.
Yeah. Three of them sobbing. Absolutely. Oh, wow. In full tears. Two of them, tears pouring down
Which
their
face.
Which
one of them didn't, and why?
My oldest, Max, he's on that type of the tears. He's a little bit harder of a nut to crack this angle.
Yeah.
So, movies and stuff like that, he doesn't cry as much. He laughs and he gets into them. He's more sentimental. He will cry on personal stories and individual things with you. But the stories on the TV doesn't hit him quite as hard. He said he got close, but he didn't get there. But so when I've got three teenagers going
That's
to a movie about an old grumpy man and they end up in tears, it's a special movie. I would say do what you can to go see it, or at least, you know, when it hits streaming, go and stream it.
You're the second person who has given me that recommendation.
I would not miss it.
That's a big one.
And the second one, this came out of absolutely nowhere. Had seen the promos for this new TV show on Peacock, and I'm like, huh, that's kind of interesting. And then my wife decided, because she likes to explore a lot of the new TV programs, and she started streaming this one and saw the first episode, and she comes down and she goes, you got to see this. I'm like, no, what? And she goes, this. And I saw the promos for that. And so then I went and I watched an episode with her and I went, oh, daddy likey. Well, it's amazing. And then we introduced our kids to it. Our kids are like, this is damn good. In fact, we stopped. This is how good it is. In order to watch the final episode that's out right now, there are only four episodes that have been released. In order to watch the fourth episode, we stopped watching the Eagles 49ers game because it was getting out of hand.
What?
Once McCaffrey came in, we were like, nope, we're going in.
Pull the wrapper off this thing, man.
This show is on Peacock, and it is called Poker Face.
Okay? Poker Face.
Poker
huh?
Face. Yeah, not necessarily a great descriptor about
not
what it is.
Not the Lady Gaga thing.
No, not the Lady Gaga thing. It stars Natasha Lyonne, who has done a number of things, but everybody will be most familiar with her being in the American Pie movies.
She was kind of
the high energy girl with the kind of curlyish blonde hair and kind of the raspy voice. That's who she was. She's really good. And the fun part about this is how I'll describe it to you. There's kind of a little bit of a something that you have to buy into.
Uh-oh.
There's something that Natasha Lyonne has the ability to do, and you have to buy into that. Once you're into that, you go run. And the idea of this, it's written and executive produced by Rian Johnson, who people will know did two of the Star Wars movies, most recently Knives Out.
Is it Ryan or Rian?
I think it's Rian Johnson, I think.
Is it?
It could be Ryan. I don't know. It's
I think
him.
It's Ryan, and okay. I say that only because I listened to Smartless, and I think they called him that. But anyway.
Could be Rian Johnson, too. I have no idea. I'm just doing it based on phonetically what it would look like. But so he's the one that's the executive producer. And Knives Out is the most closest as far as the presentation, as far as the artistry. And imagine this. The story is basically if you had someone inspired by Quentin Tarantino writing an episodic TV show that is based on the narrative storytelling of both Kung Fu and Columbo. That's the
Kung
base.
Fu and Columbo.
Yes, that's
the
base.
That's like your chocolates and my peanut butter in the early
well,
days.
Well, here's the reason why. It's an episodic TV show, and the main character is basically walking the earth. There's a reason for that happens in the first, that this person has to get the hell out of Vegas, or the mob is going to come kill her. And that's the premise for this, and you learn the whole thing in the first episode, and it's fantastic. So now she has to avoid the mob, so she's trying to stay off the grid, and she's going across the country, and she stops in these little tiny towns and areas around the country while she's trying to avoid the bad guys, and she has these interactions, and she ends up 9 times out of 10 solving things like murders and crime. But again, she's not a policeman, and it has to do with the fact that she's pretty much okay. She's a human lie detector. She just can tell when someone's lying to him. She can't tell what everything is the truth.
It's her poker skills. Yeah. That's what she's
she
got.
Just knows when someone's lying to her. And that's the basic thing. So once you get that, the premise goes forward. But here's the storytelling. At the storytelling, the beginning part of the beginning part of the show is the crime. So you see the crime.
Now I'm going to watch. I'm writing it down.
After the beginning, you go back in time and you see normally when she arrives in the town and then the build from there.
All right.
And there are all these little tiny.
And that's on Peacock.
Yeah. And the best part about it is it's the Kung Fu narrative round, but it's the Columbo narrative storytelling where you find the crime at the beginning. And then the Columbo, she's really good at this. She wanders around and she asks all these questions, but she's not asking accusatory questions. It's definitely a Columbo thing where she's like, she'll sit there and say, okay, I've been figuring. I've been thinking about this. You said this. But what about that?
Yeah.
What happened here? Can you explain this to me? And then and she just asks these questions and get these people in these situations. And there are portions where she sits there and she'll go, wait a minute, that's weird. Because you just said this to me, but I know you're telling the truth. And this guy said that earlier, and I know that he was lying to me. And so she can once you buy into that and they do
I'm
going
to have to watch
episode.
That and of course the reference to Columbo where you can find the old Columbo series watching. They're still very very good and what a blast from the past. Everything is shag carpet, but you're right. There's always that scene.
Yeah.
It looks like the bad guy, Robert Conrad has outsmarted him, and then right at the end he turns and asks that one question with the cigar in his hand touching his head as he's walking out the door. He goes, there's just one more thing.
Yeah, just one more thing.
Just one more question. And it ends up unraveling.
And
so I'll have to watch
that. That's what she does. She does that over and over. And she goes, wait a minute, I got one more question. And yeah, it's fantastic.
Before we cut away for a well-deserved break here, I should tell you another texter has come in. You and I forgot about this part, but this is legit. How about the call after the Bengals stopped the Chiefs third down, and instead of punting, the Chiefs were given a free replay by the officials?
Yeah.
That was out. That was
that
the
was
game.
Ridiculous.
That was outrageous.
Yeah.
But for that play, there is no Mahomes run, and there is no penalty. That was, and
that's
it's true, Zach,
right.
Zach Taylor went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs on the sidelines, and rightfully so.
That was crap.
If you're a Bengals fan, you're certain the fix is in, because every single human being on the field, in the stadium, and watching the game believed that play actually happened, And then that ref goes, I was waving an arm.
Yeah.
Or something like
that.
You're the only person who didn't believe the play was actually going on.
Everybody else participated as if it was going on.
Even the Chiefs ran off the field like, gosh darn it, we missed it. And then it was like, wait, what? I'm sorry?
Wait, what? Yeah.
Freebie?
That was ridiculous.
It was very, and actually it was more aggravated for me than the whole claim about the Buffs and their fifth down against Missouri all those years ago. That was a different thing. But nonetheless, we're going to get to all the texts. There's more here that keep coming in. We'll get to those. But the best thing for you is, as the listener, is that you know when we come back after the first segment, we go feet first right into the good stuff. And that is the Thorpe Report, where Billy makes us smarter about the news of the day. And then we get all dumbed down again with You Choose the News. Stick around. George Brockman on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Wow, that was a close one. It is, it's me, Dr. Feelgood, right here, George Brockler on The George Show. 710 KNUS, lots of texts coming through. So thank you for doing that, by the way. Keep doing the YouTube thing. Pretty pleased with free cars for everyone on top. This is our buddy Alexa, Love Love Columbo. When we go up to the mountains with my parents, I bring the Columbo DVDs for us to watch. I love watching the old Columbo, man. That's a good one. Before the dog, before he starts bringing the dog around, it's wonderful. The Bengals sold with that unnecessary roughness call. Also, Puss in Boots was also really good and funny. That's what I was going to say. That hey, we didn't talk about the movie. The Jeff and Graham and I, Trey didn't want to go. Jeff and Graham and I went and saw Puss in Boots because Jeff said, hey, I think it's going to be really good. Trey said, I don't want to go see a kid's movie. Jeff said, it's not a kid's movie. It's not really a kid's movie. It's got great writing. Super funny. Antonio Banderas does the voice. Selma Hayek does the other voice. And there's some other. John Mulaney's in there as Jack Horner. And, I mean, honestly, it's funny. I laughed out loud. I thought it was really good movie. So there's that thing right there. Cincinnati got the ball back after the play. The refs said did not count. My question, by the way, please tell me you're not defending the chefs because there won't be any of that on this show.
Yeah, none.
My question from Jump, the white cop tasered Tyree, shouldn't he also be charged? I know what you're talking about. Nichols. Yeah, listen, we've got some sound for that. We'll do that later in the show. We'll talk about Tyree Nichols. And so you can stick around and ask your question. Then the short answer is, based at least on the limited information I've seen about that guy, no, what would he be charged with? The guy that, when they tased him initially, when he took off and rabbited out of there, I don't see that guy on the hook for anything related to this dude's death at all, but maybe I'm missing something. I'd love to have that conversation when we get there, but we've got to get to it right now. I've got to turn the controls over, as long as the FCC will permit me to do that, for the two good things that Billy does in the morning that are all production-related. After this, it's just a slow, really just trying to keep Billy awake, but these are the two most exciting parts. Billy, it's the Thorpe Report, and You Choose the News.
Yes, and then it's nappy time. We are very excited.
Boom.
Yes, so good morning, sir. Well, look for another day of gray skies, occasional snow, and very, very cold temperatures today. Bundle up if you're headed outside. Tuesday, we're going to see more sunshine, warmer temperatures, maybe even slightly above freezing, but no promises. The trend will continue right into the weekend. Expect dry conditions with highs warming to the 40s by Thursday, and then it'll be in the 40s and 50s by the weekend. Today, mostly cloudy, occasional light snow. A high is going to be only around 9 degrees. It'll be partly cloudy, very cold tonight. We'll get to around 0 to maybe 3 below overnight, then start the warm up tomorrow. Highs around 33, getting to 39 by Wednesday. There are more than two dozen schools, businesses, and offices across Colorado that are on a delayed start, remote start, or even closed on Monday due to the frigid temperatures.
What?
We, however, are not one of them.
Wait. Is Douglas County one?
Well, we're going to go. I have a partial list.
Yay!
Aurora Public Schools, Jeffco, Elizabeth, Strasburg, Manitou, Lewis, Palmer, Canyon City. So, no. Jeffco's
you know what
not
happened,
in there.
Billy, is we freaked out Douglas. Last time, remember they shut down the schools. We had the superintendent on.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
doing?
Kids. There will be no more delayed starts or days off for the rest
of the
year.
Thanks to the George
Show, yes. So sorry.
Yes, we have done our job. You guys are soft anyway.
Sorry.
The police in Wheat Ridge are investigating a shooting of a truck driver during a possible altercation on I-70. This happened on Sunday morning. Incident occurred around 8 in the morning, westbound I-70 near the Ward Road exit. Ward Road off-ramp was closed for the investigation. Police said the driver of a semi-tractor trailer was shot, but is expected to be okay. Very few details details have been released and police are asking for help, which makes it very difficult with a few details. At least two businesses were damaged after gunfire erupted outside Colorado Mills Mall on Saturday night. No injuries reported. No arrests have been made. Lakewood police responded to the mall located off of West Colfax and I-70. They're about 7:45 in the evening. Officers arrived at the shopping center. Individuals were seen fleeing the area. Suspects no longer on the scene, police said in a news release. And the police determined it was an isolated incident between two groups of people exiting the mall, and it led to an exchange of gunfire. Nobody was struck, which, again, doesn't make me feel super safe.
Do you know that is not even the first time that kind of thing has happened? There was, I'm going back 15, 20 years now, in Jeffco, again, which is where this happened. That, by the way, Colorado Mills, a stone's throw from the courthouse.
Yep.
But in Southwest Plaza, same thing. Two guys are mean mugging each other in the mall. One group gets out of the mall first. Another group throws the door open and makes a crashing noise against the wall. Other group turns around, of course, gun in hand. Triggers are pulled. People get shot. It's just, I don't know what's going on with people, but we have to thin them right out of the herd.
Yeah, I can't figure out. I'm like, listen, you're at the mall. What exactly is going to partake between you and a couple other individuals at the mall that is going to require gunfire?
Bed Bath & Beyond bath bomb or something?
They didn't share the churro? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah,
guys,
I don't know.
Seriously, people. Oh, well. Backlash over more inclusive curriculum has led to an ugly school board meeting and threats against the Summit County School District earlier in the month. Superintendent said that he will not back down, though, in his support of the LGBTQ social studies standards that are coming. Public comment at a January school board meeting devolved at times into finger pointing, yelling, insults, because, you know, they're adults.
Uh-huh.
Summit School District Board of Education passed a measure last fall to encourage the state to include representation of LGBTQ people in their new social studies curriculum. In particular, they just want inclusion and contributions of LGBTQ people into the school curriculums from kindergarten through 12th grade. So last week, a 26-year-old was charged with felony menacing because he posted threats against the teachers and staff on social media over this very curriculum.
Oh,
however,
man.
Summit has no option but to implement this curriculum because the state school board has adopted the new standards. So people are mad at them for implementing the new standards, and they don't have any choice but they have to do it. You're yelling at the wrong people, you morons. But that's, you know, kind of de rigueur for what we do today.
I guess I'd be interested to at least see how do you incorporate the LGBTQ thing into the kindergarten curriculum. What does that look like?
Yeah, the first through third, I think, is weird. What is that going to look
like?
I
mean, middle school, maybe high school?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Absolutely.
I'm just interested to know what it is. Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I keep thinking of the history and things you're teaching the kids at that, and I just, where does that fit in? I'm not saying they can't be there. I'm just looking at, we're hitting highlights at that point. We're not going deep.
Or is it just
deep
to tell people things like, you know, Alexander the Great was gay?
Yeah.
Or something. I mean, is that what it is? You know, Abraham Lincoln.
Hey, you know, that Julius Caesar guy walked around in a towel. He has to be gay.
Gay.
Yeah. The horse that has stood watcher of the Denver Broncos Stadium since 1975 is once again on the move. Bucky the Bronco was lifted by crane this Saturday from atop the south stands at Empower Field in Mile High. Why? Well, because the 27-foot-tall fiberglass horse is just going to be moved temporary as part of a $100 million upgrade that the Broncos Stadium is undergoing this offseason. The horse is going to be added back to the top of the scoreboard after the video screen is revamped and redone. The video screen itself is going to actually double in height. By the start of the NFL season in August, the Broncos' main video board will rank as the fourth largest single scoreboard in an NFL stadium. It will be 72 feet high and 225 feet wide.
Imagine what all of those punts will look like on that big
exactly
screen. That
it's
is going to be impressive.
And watching all those sacks, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah. The thing that bums me out about it, Billy, is that tells me we're not getting a new stadium. And I'm anxious to create SoFi Aurora here pretty quickly. Like,
I know.
Let's get out of Denver. Allow people to have better parking and a safer drive.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet.
No, we're not. And just as a reminder, Bucky the Bronco was modeled after Trigger, the famous horse in the Roy Rogers Western films.
What?
So, yeah. And that is our Trigger. Aha! See what I did there? See?
Now
see
your Trigger.
Yes, it is time for the most ridiculous part of the morning show. Yes, it is time for You Choose the News, where we have scoured the interwebs all weekend, at least as far as you know, to find ridiculous stories and give them stupid headlines because we get to play this fake radio news game. Yes, sir, it is that time again. Are you prepared?
No.
Here come your headlines.
You can never be.
Headline number one, urinal surprise. Headline number two, Satan at the Super Bowl. Headline number two, kitty confusion. And headline number three was Magic Mike and Striptease Steve already taken. Alrighty, sir. Here are your choices again. Headline number one, urinal surprise. Headline number two, Satan at the Super Bowl. Headline number three, kitty confusion. And headline number four, were Magic Mike and Striptease Steve already taken?
These are all very good ones, but yes. I'm a big cake fan, so let's go with urinal surprise.
Urinal surprise. Well, here we are going to go all the way across the pond to merry old England and the scene at the Cambridge Circus. Yes, recently there was a dramatic rescue effort at a junction between Shaftesbury Avenue and Charing Cross Road because crews were sent there. There was a man that was in desperate need of help. Fire crews used a winch to release him, but despite the efforts, he did not make it. The Met police announced that they have notified the man's next of kin, and it's going to be somewhat of an awkward funeral because he was crushed after he was trapped underneath a telescopic urinal.
What?
Yeah, telescopic.
What's a telescopic urinal?
My question exactly. I had to do some really weird searching this weekend to figure out what this is. See, now basically this guy was doing some work on what they have in London now, in and around, and they're called telescopic urinals. What it is when the sun go down, the urinal come up. That they were tired of having homeless people wandering around the street just, you know, relieving themselves wherever they want to. And also, you know, young 20-somethings wandering home from the bar and think, hey, I can just drain the weasel right here. So they actually now around the city have pop-up urinals. They're called telescoping urinals that pop up at night. And he was working on them. And unfortunately, the mechanism went a little bad. He was underneath it working on it, and it went down and smushed him.
A urinal went down on a guy and killed him?
Yes, exactly. So, which, again, is going to make it really awkward at the funeral.
Before you get to the next story, just to throw this out here.
Yes,
I told you the text that someone said Puss in Boots was really good.
Yes.
It was Graham. He just texted me on my phone and said, hey, I just texted into
the
show.
That's fantastic.
I don't know what to make of the fact that we have a 13-year-old listener.
That is fantastic.
In the 6 o'clock hour. That's crazy.
I do have to question his lifestyle choices at this
point. Graham, I love you, buddy. But
and I'm worried about you.
That's impressive.
I'm very concerned about
it. If he starts commenting on the political stuff, then I'll know I've broken a sweet boy.
Exactly.
Sorry.
He still has so much joy and happiness.
I know. He still loves people.
Yes,
you
know? Why would he do this to him? Oh, okay. So your second choice this morning, sir, is Satan and at the Super Bowl, Kitty Confusion, or were Magic Mike and Striptease Steve taken?
Oh, Magic Mike.
Ah, Magic Mike and Striptease Steve. Yes, this weekend, it was the WWE Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes gets a shot at the WrestleMania Championship. Rhea Ripley also gets her shot after winning the Women's Rumble. But the story and the talk were about the brand new tag team between Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Yes, just shortly, about a week or so ago, the Irish King, Sheamus, along with Drew McIntyre, the Scottish Savage, formed a brand new tag team.
Uh-oh.
And this is impressive. In fact, they made their debut right before the Royal Rumble last Friday. They were wrestling against the Viking Raiders. Yes, it was a continuous brawl. Sheamus hit Eric with his white noise, and then Ivar with a suplex. Drew then hits Ivar with the Future Shock DDT before the Celtic Warrior picks up the win by hitting Ivar with the brogue kick.
No clue
what
you're saying.
But all of the noise was really about the name for the tag team. Yes, the WWE had decided to name the tag team of Sheamus and Drew the Banger Brothers.
What?
Yes, the Banger Brothers. They're not always that good at making up the names. But what they, I don't know, until a 20-something intern told them, hey, guys, you know, there's this website out there where they do porn.
What?
And they're called the Bang Brothers.
No,
so this
no.
may not be a good
is
thing.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. Yes, there is a film company out there called Bang Brothers, and they do lots and lots and lots and lots of porn.
Oh, no.
They now are dropping the name Banger Brothers because, again, if they had printed the T-shirts, I'd be buying a T-shirt today.
I suppose the listeners will also take note that this story came right after I announced my 13-year-old was listening to the show.
I'm just saying,
don't know what judgment is being exhibited here.
Poor judgment. This
just
is exactly
son, just
what it
remember.
Is. Yes.
Turn off the radio.
And your final choice this morning is Satan at the Super Bowl or Kitty Confusion?
Satan at the Super Bowl.
Satan is coming to the Super Bowl. At least that's the theory of a priest named Gerald Johnson. See, Priest Johnson suffered a heart attack, and he claims to have died for some time. But it was shocking what happened while he had passed. Per report in New Music Express, Gerald Johnson spoke of a place on the other side. He said that he thought originally, because of all of his good deeds and the fact that, well, he's a priest, that he would be experiencing the happiness and ever-loving joy in the afterlife of heaven. But he was surprised when he had to go in the elevator and head straight down. Yes.
What?
Yes. Gerald Johnson says, instead of getting his heavenly reward, he was sent to hell. And that's when things became interesting. He says, yes, when he was there, it was the music that was playing that shocked him the most.
Was he in Cleveland?
He said they were playing Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy was being played by the demons. And then, yes, and then he said it got even worse when they all started singing and dancing to Rihanna's Umbrella Song.
What?
Yes. He
this
said,
is hallucinogenic
he
stuff.
Said, besides hearing Rihanna's Umbrella Song being played by the demons, he was able to give a vivid detail of the things that he saw there. He saw a man walking on all fours like a dog that was being burned from head to toe. His eyes were bulging, and worse than that, he was wearing chains around his neck. He was a hellhound. And as for Rihanna, she swears she is not a demon. And the global sensation has left her fans devoid of songs for 6 years, but finally this year, she did release the song Lift Me Up. It's actually quite good. It's in the Marvel film Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and she will be performing at the Super Bowl. So then again, if you are going to the Super Bowl, obviously Satan is going to be present. So George and I are accepting all of your Super Bowl tickets because we do not want you. We care about you
just
that
based
much.
Off of the teams,
you
honestly.
Should not be exposed to that type of evil. We will suffer through the evil for you.
Eagles,
we are happy
Chiefs,
to.
Yeah, it's
that's the
demonic.
Kind of commitment we make to you, the listening public. We will endure the evil in your stead. So just send the tickets here, and we'll take care of it for you. We'll even send you some pictures.
It's hard to imagine that matchup is even a sellout, but we'll see. I suppose there'll be some people that care about that game.
Yeah. Speaking of sellouts. Oh, yes, that's it. That is the end of today's Radio News Game
Sponsor.
Show. You choose the news. We didn't have a sponsor today because I got here late. I know. I didn't open the email. So there could be some money sitting right over there on that screen there, and I don't know where it is yet. So hopefully they'll be back tomorrow. All right, back to you, sir.
Remember to email Billy with your sponsorship offers. That's how we keep this thing going. Nothing here is for free except the employees, as you know. Listen, we're going to cut away for a quick break. We'll come back, and in the moments left, we'll tee up the 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock hours. Lots to talk about. A lot of stuff in the news, and love to get your feedback on it. The texts have already been pouring in here. Just keep them coming. And then check out that ridiculous YouTube channel that we got going on right now. You will love it or hate it, but either way, subscribe to it. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler right back with you here, 710 KNUS. Thank you to Billy for putting together that wonderful segment. Of course, we have a limited amount of time before you're going to start to hear the music play again, exiting us from the 6 o'clock hour. But that means right afterwards, we go into hour two. That's the 7 o'clock hour, and we have a special guest. His name is David A. Smith. He is a professor. You probably heard him before on Pete. He used to be on Pete. I think that's the first place I ever heard him. He is a professor out of Baylor. Baylor is in Texas. Beyond that, there's not much more I can tell you. But there is that AI that's out there, that ChatGPT. I don't know what it means. My son Jeff has goofed around with it. But I've been reading some articles, maybe you have as well, talking about how this thing, and I don't even think it's self-aware yet, is able to start generating original works, including essays that get decent grades from other institutions on things like, you know, history and the social sciences and the economics and all this other stuff. It generates them. And the question is, what impact is this thing going to have on the future? Now, it's frozen in time because it hasn't been allowed to gather up any more new information, I think, since 2021. But it is fascinating. And we're going to talk with someone who's in the professorial, if that's the right word, trenches. And that's David A. Smith from Baylor. We're going to hear more about this when we come back. Stick around. Very, very interesting. It is the future. Where was this when I was in high school? George Brockler, 710, KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.